Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk Distribution, made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Approaching retirement? Yesterday's talking point zeroed in on distractions. These are the distractions that come in the form of financial news that puts a scare in you from time to time. And your reaction might be to back off or just throw up your hands and put away your statements. It's a challenge to stay focused and stick to your plan. But what if you don't have a plan? Well, maybe Steve could help. Sign up for a free portfolio review. Steve makes time to do a few of these each month via Skype or telephone. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. And now, today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of Invest Talk. It is November 3rd, 2016. And of course, we're here to help the average investor and try to get him to achieve better than average results. Now this hour we have much to talk about. Of course, you set the agenda on top of our talking point list on my, list on my agenda that you set it. I talked about certain things, but, and I talked to things I have found interesting. But you pretty much, set the tone of the show. So it's up to you. Now, among the list of talking points I have today, these debt obligations are for investors looking to walk on the wild side. How to buy exchange-traded notes. First of all, I'll probably have to explain to what an exchange-traded note is, but that's going to be one of our main talking points. I also want to discuss have you seen the investigation of the generic drug stocks being reported, and that's why all those generic stocks are been crashing. We'll talk about that. Corporate cash stash. Everybody knows there's a lot of cash in corporate coffers. How much is it? Where is it? What is it? Try to get some scale there. U.S. productivity jumped 3.1% in the most recent quarter, as reported today. Is that a lot? Do you remember what I've talked about in the past? Because I think productivity is very important. Do you remember what it has been and what it should be and what the average is and all those things? And I'm going to talk about that. And finally, mortgage jumped a little bit. Basically, I think it's based on some inflation fears. Not that we have a lot of inflation, because we don't, but they're starting to, it looks like inflation is at least on the table to talk about. Haven't seen any yet, really, but I think that's why the mortgage rates are finally moving up. People are fearing it. That's what we're going to talk about today. Unless you want to talk about something else, I'll be happy to do that. Now, a common problem that investors face in the complexity and availability of too many product choices is confusion. It's very common. There's so massive amount of choices these days. For instance, there are a wide variety of investments and account structures that take advantage of tax policy. Common products include IRAs, variable annuities, and 401ks. Is an annuity, is that tax-free? Like an IRA and a 401k is an annuity? Why would you not or should not buy an annuity in an IRA or 401k? It gets complex. That's just that little tiny things about IRA, 401ks, and annuities. What about a 403b, 457? What, are those the same as a 401k tax-wise? Just that little corner, it can get complex. So what kind of investor are you? And what are your particular needs? And what are you faced with? Is most of your money in an IRA or 401k or outside it? Should you be treating it differently when you talk about investments and different kinds of equity instruments? It's difficult. It is complex. So you got capital gains, long-term, short-term issues of long-term capital gains. Short-term capital gains are taxed differently unless you're in a 401k or IRA or one of those other tax-free instruments. Not tax-deferred, tax-free. It gets complex. It really does. Now, a mistake that many investors make in filling their retirement accounts with tax-deferred, that's the difference, tax-deferred vehicles, such as annuities, and municipal bonds. You don't need to do that. It makes no sense. You're cutting yourself short for no reason. Tax deferred versus tax free. Don't put tax deferred instruments in tax free accounts. Okay. Outside of account structures, investors also have the option to invest in a variety of alternative asset classes. Now, yeah, the world is just wide open. Derivatives, options, futures, stocks, bonds, ETNs, ETFs, on and on, and different classes, currencies, commodities, precious metals. It's so massive. So I don't ever tell you to learn all this stuff. You need to learn some, and you got to keep learning, but you might want to keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Simplicity. Cut down a lot of your headaches. Keep it simple. That's all I can suggest to you. And when I say keep it simple, that means buy those things that you understand and know how it affects everything tax-wise when you buy and sell and the length of time you own something, a type of account you put it in. Anyways, I don't want to beat it to death, but we have to, that's massive. Now, can I help make you make better money choices? We can talk about any money question that's on your mind. Let's go to our 24-hour listener line. Let's get the Q&A portion of the program going. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Dave from Pennsylvania. I had a question. I have been listening to your show for about a year now. When I first started listening, you were pretty big on big oil, as they had been beaten up for a while. You're now talking about gold, which I've been able to take advantage of. And I'm wondering, for the future, what industries can I start looking at that have been beaten up pretty now that no one likes that they will likely in the future? I'm guessing big banks / finance, healthcare, and biotech. Just wondering if you share the same opinion or you think there's an industry that's a little different. I'd like to start looking into some of these now for potential buys when the market starts to correct for them. Thanks again.
Bye. Well, first of all, I'd like you to concentrate on value versus growth. Not growth stocks, but value stocks. Secondly, there are certain industries that are, been getting beat up, and one of them is I was going to be part of my talking point today was generic drug companies. They're getting beat up now, so that's going to set up an opportunity at some point. But you got to be careful because they're being, the reason why they're getting beat up has to, have to consider that. Big banks, I am still not going to be keen on those for a long time because, it's simple as this, because of the massive amount of new regulations. Remember, they're already really heavily regulated. Now there's massive amount of new regulations that they're trying to absorb. And I think that may permanently put a big dent in their profits. So until they become very value-oriented, the big banks, I'm not going to consider them. I would not now buy big oil. I suggested at the beginning of the year, and I think that's done. But at some point, you're right, big banks will become something that's pretty attractive, and I think generic drug companies will be. And depending on which candidate, either Clinton or Trump, you'd have to be careful of where you want to go at this point. Trump will be more pro-military, so there'll be more spending there over a Trump presidential run, where Clinton will be less. Trump will turn upside down the medical healthcare system that we have, where Clinton will continue the Obamacare. There's going to be some opportunities if Trump wins. If Trump wins, there'll be opportunities because certain companies will get beaten up unfairly. And you know what? What we're discussing here is an ongoing understanding of what's going on in the political scene and the economic scene and how it affects stocks. One basic theme, It always comes back to earnings. Always comes back to earnings. Okay, I want you to join us November 12th in San Jose for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference. Where that's not very far away. I mean, we're talking about a couple weeks. Okay? Here's 100% certainty for 2017. There will be change. Maybe radical change, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to focus, the big picture, and then go to more what kind of stocks you have, and we're going to show you how to find what kind of things you look for those value companies. I mean, it's all fine and good to say, oh, we want you to move from growth companies to value companies. Well, what's a value company? We're going to show you what a value company is, how to find it, what you're looking for, what value means. So it always matters to what we want. Please, we'd love to have you. Remember, the title is How to Prosper in a Year of Change 2017. You can sign up midnight, November 5th, and take $10 off the $45 ticket price. You can sign up right now. If you'd like to, go to investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART, how to buy exchange-traded notes. That's the main talking point. But first, let's take a quick look at the market. Did you see what the market did today? Down 28 for the Dow, 47. Down 47 for the NASDAQ, and down 9 for the S&P. That's, by the way, what is that? 9 days in a row? 8 days in a row? So 9 days in a row? Well, you know what? That's pretty uncommon. What's really uncommon about each one of these down days we've had is that each one, during the day, the market was up at some point and then fell off. Isn't that interesting? That's not normal. That's very uncommon. Uncommon. So even though we're down that much, and I told you yesterday, I think the average down when you're 7 days is a little over 6%. This, we're down on 8 days in a row, we're only down 3%. Very shallow so far, knock on wood, so far. So what's the difference between ETNs, how do you buy them, what are they, versus ETFs, exchange-traded funds? Very simple. ETFs actually own the positions that they hold. They own the position. ETNs don't. They don't own anything. They represent the positions. They're issued by big banks, and they're unsecured debt obligations and issued by big banks, okay? But if the big bank goes under, you lose your money. So you got to think about that. ETNs are considered tax efficient. In other words, they can track an index. They can track anything, gold, commodities, anything. An ETN can do that. Okay. Some of the advantage are they never have tax issues. They don't have internal capital gains that ETFs and mutual funds have. They don't have that problem. And they trade like stocks, like an ETF. So that's good. But they really don't own any of the assets. They just track them. Track the underlying asset, whatever they're supposed to be doing. Excuse me. So why would someone invest in them? Really, it's for the more, I would say, the more advanced investor who likes these kinds of things for specific reasons. For the average you and me, remember I said at the top of the show, keep it simple. You don't need to buy them. They get complex. Okay, this is InvestTalk, everybody. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. We don't have to talk about that. We can talk about anything financial. I mentioned variable annuities earlier. You can talk about annuities. Don't care for them myself, but I'll be happy to talk about them. Most people don't even understand what an annuity is. And their contracts are very complex contracts. They're issued by insurance companies, whereas ETNs are by big banks. Got to know what these things. Anybody questions is welcome, though. 888-99-CHART. And this is InvestTalk. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week that you can call.
Hi, this is Michelle from Long Beach, California. I have a question regarding one of my stocks. I currently own VXX. I bought that October the 26th at 31.42. It's now up 16% today at 36.44. And this is that volatility stock from Barclays Bank. Very risky. I'm just trying to find out whether I should hold on to it until the election or right after the election, or should I go ahead and sell it today? I know a lot of it depends on the presidential election, and just wanted to get your opinion on that. Thank you so much. I love your show. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is the VIX, the iPath S&P VIX short-term futures ETN, everybody, ETN. So it doesn't hold anything. It tracks things. And it has gone up nicely from its low, but it has been in a consistent downtrend for quite some time, all the way back to February. And as I studied this thing, because I know pretty well, usually they give you a spike. This is just, it was actually up almost 5.5% today to 37.89, a little bit more than you mentioned. So it was up nicely today. I wouldn't necessarily wait for the election. That's not something that necessarily would move this. What moves this is the futures markets, what people think is going to happen in the future, the future market, the fear gauge, fear. And the question you need to ask yourself are we at maximum fear in the market? We have 8 down days, but they weren't down very much. Is that max? What I will tell you is it broke above the 20-day moving average yesterday, closed above it. So it's now above it today. So it's now moving. The next resistant point is right around $40. Okay, and right now it's at $37.88. I will say this. You're going to have to be quick because this thing drops and rises very fast. Very fast. You could take half your profits now and just wait for the other half. I think that might be prudent. But you're going to have to be quick. You're going to have to be quick with this one. VXX, everybody. The volatility index. Now, if you go to the actual volatility index, it doesn't look any. The chart of that doesn't look anything like this chart. ETNs. This chart keeps going down, 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 where the volatility index itself is flat. Now it's starting to move up. Both of them starting to move up. But it doesn't track the volatility index perfectly. It's imperfect. So it's not that great. It is a trading vehicle because you certainly can't. It's not a buy and hold anything. VXX. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what are we going to talk about today? I want to talk about productivity for the most recent quarter, the third quarter. I want to talk about mortgage rates and how they have jumped recently. I want to also talk about generic drug stocks, corporate cash stash. Those are things, those 4 things. There's a 5th thing. I wanted to mention GoPro. Did you see the earnings after hours? The stock is down 20% after hours, down 20. Do you remember I told you I don't like GoPro? And I told you because they're kind of a one-trick pony and they haven't really innovated enough, and I don't think that's a good stock to be in. A lot of people love it. I still don't like it. It's too easy to copy. There are too many problems with it. Down 20% after hours, which is pretty steep. They miss badly the numbers. Badly. Okay, so be careful. Okay, we have mortgage rates have gone up. And why have the mortgage rates gone up? Because there's a little slight flutter of fear of inflation. Remember, they don't have to have inflation. They only have to have the fear of inflation, and mortgage rates will rise. I have to explain again. The Fed is going to raise the rates probably in December, but they haven't raised them. So why are mortgage rates going up? Try to remember, the Fed does not control interest rates. They don't control interest rates. They don't control the mortgage rate. They don't control how much the banks charge for a loan, a corporate loan. They don't. No other interest rates does the Federal Reserve control except for the overnight rate. And what's an overnight rate? That's the rate they charge banks from borrowing money from the Fed. So that rate is what they control. And because of that control, most other rates kind of follow suit. In other words, if the Fed raises rates, other rates go up too. But they can, for instance, the Fed rose rates last December. Remember that? And interest rates fell for most of this year. Now they're starting to creep back up. Because The rate only went from 0 to 0.25, or a range of 0.25 to 0.50, but that's what it was. And then they're going to raise it another quarter, probably in December. But the banks, you know, the mortgage rate's 3.5%, 4%, whatever it is, 3.5%. Well, that's very huge compared to what the Federal Reserve is charging the banks to borrow the money. So the Federal Reserve, the banks borrow the money and they lend it out. So there's a fear of inflation, because if you have a fixed mortgage rate, let's say at 3.54%, which is what it is right now, and it's a 30-year rate, and there's a lot of inflation, the bank is going to lose money over those 30 years. So that's why they want a little bit more money, a little bit more rate on their interest rate. They're fearing that inflation coming down the road, and probably a good fear to have. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Remember, it is produced live every weekday between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific Time. So if you'd like to call and talk directly with Steve or Justin and ask your question or maybe a follow-up question, it's your podcast, too. Join in the conversation, 888-99-CHART. You're listening to Invest Talk for Thursday, November 3rd. Interest rates are low, the stock market is at historic highs, and the presidential election is making people skittish. 2017, Vanguard's best guesses. That's our talking point for next time. But you have a question today for Steve, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Dale. I'm a listener from Vermont. And my question is an ETF called AMLP, Algerian Master Limited Partnerships. Interested in what you think about Master Limited Partnerships and when you think would be a good time to get in. It looks like it's just broken through its support level. I like your show a lot. I'm learning a lot from it, and look forward to hearing from you. Thanks again. Bye.
Allerin. That's not Allergan, but Allerin, AMLP, Master Limited Partnership Exchange Traded Fund. And it's all about pipelines, okay, and moving gas and oil through pipelines. And is it time to get back into them? I'm going to say no, not now. They've had a little rebound from the lows made last February, you know, and it was a low of about $7.75, $8, and they went up to like $12.75 or so, and today they're $11.95. And, you know, it depends on who gets elected, by the way. If Trump gets elected, he'll be more pro-energy and, you know, there'll be more benefits for owning these kinds of assets. If Hillary gets in, no, it's not. This will be more of the same of what we've seen. The only reason you buy this is because of the dividend. It's paying 9%. 9%. Can it continue to pay 9%? Well, it's hard to believe that they would be able to do it because they're losing they're not making a lot of money. The companies inside this infrastructure index, they're not. Most of them are losing money. So, I think we are premature yet. I think you need to wait. I just don't think it's time to do that. There's not a good enough value there yet, and I'm not quite sure that dividend is supportable. I'd have to look at the inside of the infrastructure index and see what it looks like, the different companies. Let's go to James in New York. How you doing, James?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
I wanted to ask about SLW, Silver Wheaton.
Yes.
Wondering if maybe that might be a practical buy at this level, just, I believe, under $25 right now. But do you think that's a good buying opportunity to hold that through 2017? You think a price target of $40 is realistic for that, or more perhaps?
I think, well, let me say this. We own this stock in our stock, our more aggressive stock managed accounts. We've owned it for about a year now. And it had a really good move up until in August. And then in August, it started to get back. It got up to about 31 or so, and now it's at 24. But it started to recover at the beginning of October. It's kind of went down to that lower level, 23, and has been slowly trying to recover. I like it, by the way. I think, you know, the sales are going to, earnings are going to grow 28% this year, another 44% next year. Sales are increasing 29% the most recent quarter, 44% the quarter before that. It is a Canadian buyer and purchase agreements for silver and gold from mining companies operating in North and South America. I like what they do. I think if you know, I think they got another leg up, James, and I think at the minimum it would go back up to 31. At the minimum, that's what I think. Okay.
Thanks. Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, James. I appreciate the call. Thanks for listening there in New York. I do appreciate that, podcast listener. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Generic drug companies have been really taking it on the chins recently, and it was reported today that there's a criminal investigation. It's been there's been a criminal investigation for 2 years, and it's all about possible collusion by the Justice Department. Collusion. And they mentioned Mylan, Teva Pharmaceuticals, Endo Pharmaceuticals. 2 years and about a dozen companies collusion about fixing prices for the drugs. Lynette Company, Impact Lab, Taro Pharmaceuticals. You were wondering why your drug companies were doing bad? Well, this is why. This is why. This is why it is very important for you to learn the lesson to not get to in love with, not be in love with any stock, not over invest in any stock, because here's something out of left field that you could never ever research and find out: government action of some kind. You can't, you know, it could come and slap you over the side of the head like this. These stocks are very good stocks, most of them. Why, you know? So now it's a government action. You don't know what it's going to do to them. So, but you know, the stock price has gone down. So that's why our average buy is about 3% per stock, because I don't want to get killed by any one stock. And that's why you don't do too much of any one sector either. Just don't. And this is why. You don't know. No one knows. You can't know what you don't know. You can't. So. That was something that came out this afternoon or today sometime. And, you know, if you take a look at these stocks, you'll find most of them are down sharply and have been down. So someone knew something, probably. We didn't know, you and I, but someone knew something. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. It's time for Invest Talk 101. So let's quiz you first. It is important to not only understand how to analyze fundamentals of individual stocks, but to also understand economic fundamentals that affect the future direction of business activity. So how can you measure that? And why is that important? Remember, I mentioned it already today, because it all comes down to earnings. It's the future direction of the business activity, the economic cycle. Can the companies make more money next year and the year after? If they don't, stocks won't go up. Now, so how do you measure it? How do you measure direction of business activity? The answer is there are a few ways to calculate gross domestic product, or GDP, but the simplest calculation involves four factors: consumption, investment, government spending, and net exports. We don't have any net exports. We have net imports at this point. But that's important, import exports. The largest component of the GDP in the U.S. is the consumer consumption part. Income trends, savings rate, wealth effect, personal balance sheets, confidence, etc. That all affect how much consumers go out and spend. That's why it's what 66% of our economy is what the consumer does. Also, the investment component has a lot to do with business confidence. Businesses go out and spend money on buildings, software upgrades, factory upgrades, equipment. And they have been pretty much absent. They're spending some money, but not very much. Pretty much absent this whole economic cycle. They're not reinvesting all that profits they made. And the profits, and why? Because their profits have been going down. They did very well coming out of the recession, making good profits. But the last year and a half, profits have been going down. Now, government spending is pretty self-explanatory, the government spending money. And the final component has to do with whether we export or import more goods. If we import more than we export, that detracts from the GDP. If we export more than we import, that adds to our GDP. And we have been exporting much less than we import. So our the imports-export relationship has been a drag on our GDP for years. Years. We cannot seem to export the stuff we need to export. Well, for instance, we export, just recently I reported earlier this week, soybeans, big, huge order for soybeans export. We produce a lot of food, but a lot of countries have barriers for us to import our food products to them because they're protecting their own growth of food industry. So we have barriers. Barriers. We are a bit more open as far as people importing to us. And that you know, I'm not going to get political, but that's one of the big themes of Trump has talked about, you know. But, you know, you don't want to also have a trade war. You can't, that helps nobody. That hurts everybody. So it's a very delicate issue. But those are things that affect the GDP numbers, and that you want to look at GDP, gross domestic product, to give you an idea of where the economy's going. Now our GDP numbers are not very good. This GDP has been under 3% for almost 8 years now. 3% growth, and that's, by the way, our average growth, a little more than 3%, and we've been below average for a long time. Now, if you have that's InvestTalk 101. If you have questions about today's InvestTalk 101, check in now, 888-99-CHART.
Each month, Steve schedules one-hour meetings with our listeners to answer important questions about their retirement portfolio. His next scheduled session is in San Jose on November 16th. You can set up a time right now. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. And if you're not near our California offices, Steve can meet with you via Skype or telephone. It's easy. Set up a time.
I've been reading a couple of books here recently. One of them named Ahead of the Curve, and another one, Don't Sell Stocks on Monday by Yale Hirsch. You may know of those two books. I was curious, do you have any books that you might suggest that I could maybe check out and read?
Oh, yeah, I got lots of books. You can go to our website. We have a section for books. And I'll tell you, if you're a beginner, you got to read one up on Wall Street. There's certain books that are fairly simple for the beginner. My book is a beginner book, which is above average investing for the average investor. So those are beginning books. But then you get to the more advanced books. I would suggest that if you're not really in tune and with what really how things work, you might want to start with an overall picture. And that means reading some economic books. And not all economic books are boring. They're really not. I have pushed for years now the book Creative Destruction. It's a very good economic book on how our system works. I think it's fairly interesting. I will warn you, I'm a reader, so I read all the time. So what I find interesting may be a little bit biased. But there's a lot of books on our website. You know, if you want to read about fundamentals, one of the biggest book on fundamentals out there is The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham. And it's a difficult book for most people because it is not exciting. It's like reading The Wealth of Nations. I have not found anybody that I know has read the book The Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith. It is a very difficult book. It's a 1,000-page fine print, written almost 200 years ago, and it's very, very good. But most people have not read it. It's probably because they find it tedious. But those are, my web page has a lot of books that I think are pretty good that you can check out. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Remember, that's the recommended books list on investtalk.com. Okay, corporate cash stash. We've talked about this off and on. It's always in the news. You know, how to bring that corporate cash overseas back to the U.S. And, you know, both parties want to do it, just haven't been able to do it. Anyways, how much is out there? Well, let's talk about non-financial cash. In other words, not with big banks, because it's kind of misleading. They borrow money, Let's talk about non-financial cash held in corporations' coffers. How much is that? It's $1.77 trillion. $1.77 trillion. And that is by far more than what the financials have outside. They have maybe a third of that. And this will be about $1.77 trillion. That's the estimate by the end of this year, 2016. And excuse me, that's up 5% year over year. 5% year over year. Who has all this money? Well, you know, everybody talks about Apple, and Apple does have $250 billion of that $1.77 trillion. Apple, Microsoft, Google, or Alphabet, Cisco, Oracle, they combine to have $587 billion of that. Of course, half of that is in Apple. But that represents about a third of the total. And these, and they're, most of that money, is, most of the money they're holding is outside the United States. Okay, how much is held offshore? You thought I would leave you hanging. How about $505 billion of it is held offshore? Offshore. Now, what would happen if they brought all that money onshore? Well, it would be a good thing, but don't think it would be immediately put to work or anything. It wouldn't. But it would be a good long-term strategy to have that cash here in the U.S. so that these companies can invest that money any way they want to, and hopefully a bunch of it will be invested here in the U.S. But there's no guarantee of that or anything. It just would be a good strategy, economic strategy, to do that. You're listening to Invest Talk. Now you have a partner managing your 401k at work. It's a new program from us, KPP Financial. We call it My 401k. Find out more about it now on investtalk.com. Click on the investment tab and then My 401k.
Hi, this is Mike. I listen on the podcast from Akron, Ohio, and I'm a beginning investor. I'm wondering where's a good place to set up a Roth IRA, and also if I do set up a Roth IRA, is that something that I can hand over to you guys to manage it for me? Thank you.
Okay, well, if yes, you can hand it over to us to manage, but we have minimums, and if you start just starting out, you won't meet the minimums because you can only put a maximum of $5,000 in a Roth IRA per year. Well, actually, you could put more, but there are restrictions. You got to just be aware of them. You can open a Roth anywhere: E-Trade, Scottrade, Schwab, Fidelity, you name it. You can own Vanguard anywhere. You can open up anywhere a Roth. It's pretty darn simple, and most of those custodians are all, everyone I mentioned, are all SIPC insured, SIPC insured, and every one of them will help you open them up, open up a new account. They love IRAs and Roth IRAs because they assume you're going to keep investing over the years, and you should. That's the smart thing to do. Good question. Thank you very much. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, U.S. productivity jumps 3.1%. But will that last? I don't think so. It's a good number. It's a pretty decent number. Not a great number, but a decent number. Okay? So it jumped 3.1% for the most recent quarter. And these productivity numbers come out quarterly. And that's the first gain since the fall of 2015. That's 2 years. That's a long time. Why is productivity important? Because it goes to the standard of living. If productivity goes down, which it has been, not doing very well over the recent years, what happens is all of our standard of living goes down. Now, the improvement was triggered by a big jump in the amount of goods and services produced. Okay, not by increasing hourly workers or anything like that, or wages, because that didn't happen. So the same workers produced a lot more stuff for that period of time. Now, productivity has barely risen 1% per year since 2007. 1% per year since 2007. It's now 2016. That's what, 9 years? Now, if you compare that with the 2.6% rate for the 7 years up to 2007, that was the average, 2.6. Remember, it's 1% after, 2.6% before. And the long term, going back all the way to World War II, and for those people that don't remember history, World War II ended in 1945. The average since 1945 is 2.2%, and we're at 1%. That's how bad it is. That's very bad for us. And early in the show, I mentioned corporations not spending a lot of money. They're not spending money to upgrade systems, to build new buildings, new factories, new equipment. They're not. They're not spending enough. That is not the only reason that... You got to look at the psychology. Why aren't they spending the money? Why aren't they? Well, think about all the regulations that have been put on since our Great Recession. They're scared. They don't want to. Think about the huge healthcare cost increase. Think about the massive regulations for financial entities. You're a CEO. You're not sure how this is all going to work out. You're not going to be really focused on spending more and more and more money because you're not sure that it's really going to be worth it and the economy is really going to grow enough to support this new big spending program that you're having to upgrade your systems. You're waiting. You're saying to yourself, I have decent systems. I'll just improve what I have the best I can with a certain amount of budget. I'm not making any big outlays. That's what they're thinking. If I was a CEO, I can understand that thinking. It takes a lot of guts to step out and say, I'm going to spend all my cash and build a new factory. They're questioning the wisdom of that kind of decision, and they're being pretty cautious. And, you know, can you blame them? Probably not. Our time is up for this hour. Remember to save the date for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference coming up in November on November 12th. It's 9 to noon in San Jose. If you sign up by midnight, November 5th, if you sign up before then, you can take $10 off the $45 ticket price. You can sign up online on investtalk.com, and you can do it now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, I want to thank you for listening today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.